You are listening to Golden Rule Radio, your weekly discussion of the precious metals markets and the markets closely associated with the metals. I'm Miles, and I'm alongside nobody this week. Both Rob and Tori are out this week. Miss you guys, and look forward to having you back in the studio next week. Each week, we like to take a few minutes to look at the technical analysis of the metals charts and cover the underlying fundamentals and news that helps move and predict the markets. So today, we're taking a look at some pretty aggressive moves in the precious metals and the equities markets. So moving into the weekly charts, we're going to start off with gold, which is actually pretty flat this week, technically down about 0.25%. Not too much to really write home about, but gold is sitting just under 4,700 at 4,685. And that's actually going to stop there because as we move over to silver, holy smokes, silver up 13% on the week. Looks like it's screaming back up to $90 an ounce. It's currently $87.70 and possibly not showing an inkling of stopping here in the next at least couple of days. So we definitely want to take a longer look deeper into the silver chart here in a moment. So silver beating everybody, not flat like gold, up 13%. Platinum, a little bit behind silver. Platinum is up 9% last week and another 5% this week. So platinum up about 14% over the last 2 weeks, which is what silver's done just in the last week. Platinum now again firmly above 2,000, currently sitting at $2,150. And sister metal to platinum, palladium, going the other direction, down 2.5% since last week. So the platinum to palladium price ratio is starting to spread out again. Palladium currently sitting just above 1,500 at 1,507, 1,507. The stock market, we're going to look at a couple different markets here in a minute, but starting with the S&P, just to give us a broad indicator, the S&P is up almost another 1% here this past week and continues on the tear that it's been on, currently sitting at 7,445, and nothing but green candles for the S&P as it continues to rise here over the last couple of weeks. And the dollar index, this is the DXY index, up about 0.5%, currently sitting at 98.5. So pretty much across the board, flat to up, except for palladium, which we like to look at from an industrial standpoint as a counterpart to platinum. So since I get to decide where we go, and I'm actually going to start us off with the US dollar this week, because I think there is a good parallel I want to draw here. You know, a lot of us have gotten very accustomed to taking a look at the DXY through the years. But recently here, and Tori and I have had this conversation privately over the last couple of weeks recently here, it's becoming less of a broad enough indicator to really look at. So if you really look at the DXY chart here, you're seeing what appears to be a pretty long-term rising trend in the US dollar with a corrective period coming back. Now, the problem with the DXY is the DXY index is about 50% weighted against the euro. So when you overlay the DXY against another indicator like the Fed's trade-weighted indicator that brings 25 or 30 additional countries in and is a much broader look at the strength of the US dollar compared to other trade currencies around the world, you kind of see a changing pattern there internationally. And where I tend to find this interesting and why I think this matters into the conversation here is I think you're starting to see a segregation between the US dollar and euro denominated assets compared to other trade nations out there that we work with, where you're starting to see a weakening of the US dollar over time, which probably also means a weakening of the European markets over time as well, when you look at it compared to the DXY. So there's a pretty good chance that going forward with the show, we're going to be taking a look at both of these, because we do have to recognize that a lot of the geopolitical conversation that people have been having here recently is not about the United States and Europe. It's about China, it's about South America, it's about other Asian countries within the Asian bloc. and certainly the Middle East as well. So I think it's fair to say that we need to look at the US dollar from a broader standpoint here to recognize that the inflationary concerns we're having here domestically are presenting themselves internationally when you look at some of the other trade-weighted countries. Now, between us and Europe, it does look like we're pretty much in lockstep or continuing a trend that we expect. But when you bring those other countries in, it does start to look a little bit more negative. So I think that's kind of a good place to start with as we're looking at some of these other pricing, because when we're looking into the charts on a number of the other metals and then other markets, we are weighing those metals against what's happening in the US dollar. You can also go out and say, look at gold versus the Japanese yen or the Chinese yuan or the Mexican peso or anything else. But here we're looking at it against the US dollar and the dollar index comparisons, which is primarily what you'd consider kind of a US or European centric market. And frankly, that model is starting to shift when you look at some of these other trade weighted currency pairs. So let's definitely take a little jump over to gold. Gold tends to be the reason why our company exists and the currency that we all like to get back to. So the thing here I wanted to discuss, and I highly this week recommend going and checking out our other show if you're not already listening to it weekly. This week, David and Kevin over at the McIlvaney Weekly Commentary had a long conversation both about things that we tend to avoid here because everybody else is talking about them, like what's going on in Iran and the Strait of Hormuz and how that's affecting oil pricing and the drawdown on oil reserves internationally right now due to the conflict in that area. Dave and Kevin give us a really strong deep dive into that. And there was a piece in there when I was listening to Dave talk earlier that I think very much applies to what we're seeing in the metals market right now, and that's a shift in policy thinking. Kevin brought up a point this week where, as somebody who likes to look at charts, what I'm looking here is trend and momentum typically caused by the buying and selling habits of investors. So when I pull the price of gold up, when I can overlay things like moving averages and Fibonacci retracements and look for trend lines, what we're getting into here is seeing some patterns back and forth of where you tend to see the fistfights between bulls and bears play out. And sometimes those things are very, very clear. And sometimes, frankly, the market just goes a direction and throws the baby out with the bathwater. We've seen those periods back in January and February, but now we've gotten back into some more traditional trading. So when I listened to David and Kevin talk, Kevin brought up a great point here this past week where for the last 40, 50 years, from a charting perspective, that's how we've looked at the precious metals market, specifically the gold market, as it has primarily been controlled by traders. We've talked about this for a number of weeks now. The amount of gold held within various treasuries around the world, I think reserve assets got as low as 9 or 10% at one point internationally, where 60 years ago, it was closer to 100%. Well, here over the last 10, 15 years, we've seen that start to transition, where all of a sudden, the 40, 50 years that we've been looking at how the precious metals trade, you've been applying the same type of thought process to precious metals that you would to other markets like equities or bond markets, where you're trying to predict a investor class and the way they vote with their wallet towards different types of assets. So now we're seeing a policy change, and the policy change has been pretty clear that gold is not the 4,000, 5,000 year old pet rock, but gold is becoming the replacement currency for the US dollar. Now, it may be interim, but I'm thinking back through my 20-some year career here where I've listened to a number of clients present concerns as to if we're looking at a failing dollar, what replaces the dollar? Is it going to be the Chinese yuan? Could it be the euro? 20 years ago, everybody thought the euro was going to become the world's great next financial superpower. More recently, it's been expectations about the Chinese yuan. But for some reason, we seem to have all forgotten that the little yellow metal that could throughout all of human history has been the replacement currency that people go back to. And I think that's what we're certainly starting to see again now as those international reserves are starting to build back up to 20, 25, 28% of total, and starting to outstrip the US dollar on an international scale for the number one position for reserve currency holdings. So I think we are seeing the currency transition that everybody has been fearful of, and that's certainly getting reflected in the price. When we go over and we take a look at the gold price here recently, we've seen a fair bit of stability in the gold price following the big run-up. So if you look at this run-up in the gold price going back to earlier this year, pushing us well over that $5,000 mark, culminating this spring, end of January, beginning of February, you're really looking at a gold run that didn't just start last fall. You know, we're looking at a major gold run that really started back at the middle to end of 2022, down around $1,600 gold, with a continuation climb all the way up to $5,600, let's say, give or take. And a relatively shallow correction back down. Now, we talked about this last week where we've had this kind of two steps down pattern in the price of gold, and it seems to be holding that pattern relatively reasonably. This is the conversation about traders maintaining control now. Now, when you look at the last couple of months, that wasn't traders maintaining control. You know, that's when you throw the baby out with the bathwater, as I just said. But now we're looking at relatively stable trading here in the very short term. So now the question becomes, okay, where do we go from here? And this was something we've started to hint at, and I want to take a minute just to draw a couple lines on the charts here, because we're looking for a couple of things to play out here as traders maintain control within this market on both the upside and the downside, and the bulls and the bears are trying to figure out who's going to gain the momentum edge and sort of push things the other direction. We're still looking at gold maintaining a declining pattern with two lower lows and probably two lower highs. Now, recently, we've had a little bit of a push up in gold, and as we look at the silver chart here in a second, I may change my tune a bit. But until we break out of this particular pattern, you would expect to see gold continue to stair-step down to some previous support levels, which would have been put in back around the previous bottom around 4,000, or we could even go back to the previous market top that we finally broke up above back in August, and this would have been around 3,400. So the assumption, as markets stay mentally sound, let's say, is you're going to have a period of explosive either growth in this case, or sometimes decline. Then you're going to have a correction back down, a reversion to the mean. And then you're going to wait for traders on one side of that argument to take control or not. So we're looking at some pretty consistent and healthy trading back and forth in gold. The bigger concerns that other more geopolitical positions are going to take a look at, like say our McIlvaney Weekly Commentary, which tends to look at things with a much broader brush than we do, they're looking at these massive sweeping policies on a government or major corporate level that take months and years to filter their way into the person-to-person pricing of things. When we're looking at it in the short term, that's just the day-to-day movement of trader action. We are seeing that trader action start to pick up right now. Been watching the CME groups, both of volume and open interest positions, which have been relatively stable in gold, but starting to slightly increase here over the last week or so. Gold, to me, remains in the trading range we're looking at. I'm looking for potentially some lower entry prices here and certainly hoping for that. So now we'll move over to silver because it gives us a slightly different story. And I think this is the key point to take a look at through the markets this week. Now, silver, on the other hand, followed the same kind of pattern where we had a couple lower lows. But silver's trading range has been staggeringly large. We've mentioned this over the last couple of weeks. Silver's trading range has been huge, anywhere from around, on the top end, $95, and on the low end, maybe $60. That's a 50%+ trading range from bottom to top in the short term. That's extremely volatile and very hard to try to plan for. Now, the fun thing with silver, which can also be the dangerous thing, is the silver bugs out there have been throwing some numbers out that I don't disagree with, but I'm concerned about timing. Like, do I think silver is going to go to $300 or $400 or $500 an ounce? Yeah, the current inflation rates and the way we're going, of course it will. Do I think it's going to happen this summer? Well, that I'm not willing to place a bet on. But I still don't want to eliminate that as a concept from the way I'm looking at these charts going forward. So let's take a look at this here from the silver position as we've been stepping down here. Something I said last week is looking at this massive trading range, I felt that what we were probably doing is climbing our way back up to the top end of a declining trading range. And we're getting very, very close to that now. You know, with us at $87.50 an ounce, that's probably going to put us up another couple bucks to around $90 an ounce. And we're going to bump our head on the first ceiling here for the silver market. So we've currently returned about 50% of the decline. So if you look at us topping out at around 120, coming all the way back down to 60, pushing back up to 90, that's halfway between the two, that'd be about a 50% retracement back to the upside. And that's really where we're going to see silver hit its head pretty hard here at around $90 silver. Now, if we happen to push above that, if we do happen to push above that, I think there's another trading channel that probably by the time we get there is going to take us up to a double top. So what's crazy to me here is we could see silver, which back at the end of March, beginning of April, had declined all the way down to 60. We could see silver return to 120 and then turn around and come back down from there, putting a double top in. Now, I'm not saying I think that's going to happen. You could also see silver break above that and continue that climb upwards, which it will do eventually. But we really are in a position here where you're looking for momentum on one side or the other. And are the bulls or the bears going to claim ownership of this market going forward, especially specifically the silver market? So what I love about seeing this type of reaction in silver is this takes us over to a third chart I want to look at here, and that is the relative price of gold versus silver, what we call the gold-silver ratio and talk about relatively often here. The gold-to-silver ratio, which had been for the last number of years running at relatively high levels, in that how many ounces of silver does it take to buy 1 ounce of gold? What is the price of gold in terms of ounces of silver? And we've seen a repeating back and forth, I would argue rising, but we've seen a repeating pattern in that over the last 20, 30 years, where there will be periods of time that gold dramatically outperforms silver, and then there'll be periods of time where silver dramatically outperforms gold. We have thus far seen silver dramatically outperform gold in a very short period of time, and we're pushing down to a rising trend line channel, in fact, in a rising trend line channel, as you can see on the charts here, to the downside. Now, there are lower numbers we could end up getting to here on the gold to silver ratio. And that's the thing I definitely want clients to pay attention to right now, is this is the time where you start looking at your precious metals position. You start looking at the balance you have between the various metals, and you can potentially look for opportunities to swap your gold into silver, your silver into gold, and pick up sometimes significantly more ounces than if you had bought the other in the first place. So with us pushing into this channel, there's certainly an opportunity that we could see it get a little bit better, go a little bit lower, which is why I think when you start getting into this range, you want to start taking measured steps out. So I would encourage anybody out there who's sitting on significant percentages of silver at these price ratios, if you're 50% silver, 60, 70, 80% silver, consider touching base with your advisor here at McIlvaney Precious Metals. We can check your math for you real quick. We can look at where you came in to your silver position initially. Maybe you were in the 70, 80, 90, 100 to 1 ratios back through post-COVID kind of 2021, 2023. And look at starting to transition some of that silver over into gold sort of in measured steps as we hopefully see the gold-silver ratio continue to decline from here. So it gives you something to do while you're watching these markets, which in their short-term trading cycles sometimes make no sense. It's constantly getting questions like, hey, silver's going up right now, why is gold holding still? Or, hey, gold's going up right now, why is silver going down? And we'll get questions like that sometimes, and sometimes you just have to take a step back and say, okay, the day-to-day markets don't have to make logical sense on a day-to-day basis. They just have to follow patterns and make sense when you start to stretch those timelines out a little bit. So there are things you can be doing in the precious metals market right now that may not necessarily include buying more or selling some because of the dollar profit. Now, long term, you really want to hold those positions if you can, because inflation is going to take care of the dollar price on a long enough timeline. But there are things you can be doing within the metals themselves to be increasing that position. And by turning 10 ounces into 15, 15 into 20, it really becomes irrelevant what the dollar price is. I mean, honestly, 10 years from now, if I've doubled the amount of gold I have, I don't really care what the dollar price inevitably ends up going to. I don't care if silver's 300 or 500 or 200 or 10,000. It doesn't matter. If I can turn 500 ounces into 1,000, that's a multiplicative effect over the course of time anyway. So it's a different approach to looking at an investment portfolio. A lot of our clients are already involved in this conversation. I encourage you to continue having it with your advisor. Before we run out of time here, I want to touch on a couple things on the back end. Platinum, we're looking at increases in platinum and silver. So from an industrial metal standpoint, we are looking at increases where we're not seeing them on the gold side as much over this past week. I think that's because of what we discussed earlier and David brought up in the McIlvaney Weekly Commentary. Gold has become a policy discussion, whereas silver and other industrial or precious metals within the industrial framework are going to be more of a traded discussion. So starting to see that disconnect pretty aggressively here between gold and silver, I think is because we're starting to see gold transition from a precious metal to a currency conversation, whereas things like silver are staying within the realm of investable assets and are being treated as an undervalued asset, which silver still is. Even at almost $90 an ounce, still significantly undervalued compared to its relative pricing 30, 40 years ago. Platinum is the same, and I still think platinum is probably the best deal in the precious metals right now at its pricing. So quick glance over at the equities markets, because I thought this was pretty interesting this week. There's definitely starting to see a separation of haves and have-nots in relation to the equities market. The equities markets has been doing exceptional. No one denies it, but so is our cost of living. And I think we're starting to see a segregation between people who are concerned about the cost of living rise, but seeing an offsetting return on their 401ks and stock portfolios. That's one group of people. Another group of people is just concerned about the cost of living rise. And I think that the increased valuation of your stock portfolio, keeping up with the increased expense of your grocery store bill, for most Americans, one doesn't cover the other. So we're definitely seeing a segregation there where the equities markets are starting to rise, and we're hearing coming out of Washington, despite the events taking place in the Strait of Hormuz, boy, the stock market's still doing great. It's, well, the stock market doesn't really benefit as many people on a day-to-day basis as we would like it to. The cost of living and oil price increase is definitely having a more significant detrimental effect than the equities market is having a positive effect. But we're starting to see a segregation between the different market sectors that are certainly propping up different aspects of the market. You know, we've talked about this for a number of years, how we have a small collection of primarily tech stock companies propping up the entire market as a whole, responsible for the majority of the growth. So just for fun, I sat down and charted out all 30 of the S&P stocks, and there is a very clear winner when you look over the last 4 or 5 years, with NVIDIA leading the charge as expected, up a little over 3,000%, whereas most of the other 29 companies are up 100, 200, 300%. But the bulk of the weight is getting carried by a very small handful of companies. And that's much more representative within a broader market that's covering multiple different market sectors like the S&P compared to a much narrower look at your top of the New York Stock Exchange food chain, propped up almost exclusively by NVIDIA. So that's going to do it this week for Golden Rule Radio. As always, we appreciate you stopping by. If you liked what you heard, we encourage you to head on over to our website at mcalvany.com. That's mcalvany.com. You can also find us on Twitter at ICA Gold and Facebook at McIlvany Financial. And as always, if you'd like to discuss your personal portfolio with one of us here at McIlvany Precious Metals, you can reach us at 1-800-525-9556. Thanks for listening and have a great week.